How do I create lasting change?
Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Brandon, how's it going, man?
Good. You're wearing a golf shirt today.
I knew you were going to say something. I knew you were going to say something.
Well, you're a big time golfer, so I think I've golfed with you once.
You've seen me golf, and you know for a fact how bad I am at golf.
Oh, hey, we're all bad.
So actually, no, it's funny. I've worn a golf shirt twice in the last week, and both times I can't get through my day without having multiple people say, "Is there something wrong? Like, are you
wearing pants today? Yeah. Not shorts?" I mean,
I'm still wearing shorts.
Oh, you got shorts. Yeah. Shorts with the golf shirt.
Yeah. I'm still wearing shorts. So my sweet wife, like Rhiannon, was out shopping and she saw like my normal getup is, you know, the cargo shorts with a t-shirt, and the t-shirt usually has some kind of a message on it, like, you know, save our public lands, or, you know, some purpose or cause. I always have some purpose or cause that I'm wearing, something that's meaningful to me. And she just was like looking at those normal shorts, and next to them were these kind of really silky golf shirts. And she's like, "Tyler used to wear collared shirts sometimes. I wonder if I could get him to wear these just because they're silky and comfortable." So she bought me two of them, and they're actually really nice and I like them a lot. So,
you know, you're the only guy I know that like cargo shorts went out of style in like 1998 or something. And you wore them all the way through, and I think they're back in style again.
I've gone full circle. I am, I'm almost
hung strong.
I'm almost in style. I've been in style twice in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
but to me, that's the thing is always been more about like function and comfort than it has been anything else. I remember like a couple of years ago, I had a guy come into my office for a first session, and, he sat down. He was all dressed up really nice. He was a dentist, and he sat down. And I sat down across from him, and he's like, kind of got this surprised look on his face. And he's like, "Are you my therapist?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Tyler. I'm here. You signed up for Tyler?" "Yeah, I signed up for you. You know," it's like, "Do you dress like this every day?" And I said, "Yeah, I dress like this every day. Like, I wear shorts and a t-shirt every day." And he sat there for a second in silence. And then he was like, "I don't think we're going to be a good fit for each other. I'd rather have somebody more professional." I said, "All right, well, we'll get you a different fit then." And I gave him some referrals and sent him on his way. So,
hey, I'm glad you at least brush your teeth and throw on some deodorant and stuff. So shorts is fine.
Yeah.
Hey, I admire your authenticity. So, well, should we talk about lasting recovery, lasting change?
Yeah, let's get into the topic.
So a couple of things, Tyler, just to kind of throw it out there. We do these retreats, which we love to do, and we're actually going to do one this weekend, a women's retreat, the Radiant Dawn retreat. We do a men's retreat, and then I've also taken people down to Peru to do experiences and retreat. And what's interesting is you and I both believe that an emotionally, and I throw in there spiritually, corrective experience is what is needed for real healing to happen. And there's also this other thing, which you can have these big experiences, and then you go back to all of the inputs in your life that you had before. You start to resonate the same way, you start to create the same way. And yeah, you had that amazing experience and it changed your outlook on life. And now you feel like you're just going back to the old, maybe doldrums, or just relapsing, or whatever it is that life had before. And so how do you sustain lasting change? One thing, I went to the MAPS conference, the psychedelic conference, and they said, you know, people come in thinking that a plant medicine journey is going to heal all their problems. And the research is showing that it actually doesn't at all. But it's the integrative work, the continued consistent work after the journey that actually creates real change. We want to talk about what that work is, what that work looks like on a day in, day out basis.
Yeah, as you're talking, Brent, I'm just thinking of multiple times in my own life going to a conference or having a spiritual experience out in nature or at church or something, or being highly motivated. Or, you know, I used to listen to Zig Ziglar a lot, and you get all pumped up listening to him, like, you know, I'm going to go change the world, this, that, and the other. And you get that motivation going, only to then have it fade when you go back and have the rubber meet the road with what real life is still throwing at you. And
right.
That's what we want to talk about today, is what are the things that prevent people from actually taking these meaningful, deep experiences, which have the potential to be completely life-changing. And how do you maximize those experiences into actual life-changing things rather than a cool experience that you talk about once in a while?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, as we get into this, one of the things that I think is difficult, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people, is that when we have these deep, impactful, spiritual, emotional experiences, whatever they are, in the moment, they feel so real. And they're actually doing something there. It's like it's tilling the soil inside of our souls to plant new seeds. But then we go home expecting those changes to stay with us. And we make a mistake when we disregard the fact that the soil has been tilled, but there still needs to be a planting, and there still needs to be a tending and a caring and a harvesting that goes along with it. And that's not always fun. Like, that's actually a lot of times really uncomfortable. And we feel like because it's uncomfortable, we've done something wrong, or it's not true, or it's not right, when in reality, the discomfort of it is a necessary part of the continued change.
Yeah, I think the tilling is uncomfortable. And then it's like exciting because now you're in this fresh soil that's like ripe for growth. And I love this analogy, Tyler. The cultivation, the nurturing, that work actually is work. It takes day in and day out consistency over time. And that's really one of the key elements to it all. It's just knowing what the inputs are to actually cultivate, and then doing it again and again and again. And one of the first things that is really hard for people once they have an experience like this is it's not about what they do or what they consistently do day in and day out. One of the first things, it's about what they cut out. It's about what they get rid of out of their life, which can be really, really hard. So if you have an experience at a retreat, or, you know, just whatever in life, and it's like, well, I know that one relationship in my life is so toxic and takes me right back to all of my old behaviors, but I don't want to like hurt their feelings, or I don't want, like, I use them to complain all the time, or, you know, I don't want to change the dynamic of that relationship. Cutting that relationship out and changing that relationship is hard. Other things, I know that I spend way too much time on social media, so I'm going to set some limits on my phone to cut that out, to make sure that's not taking my life over. but I don't want to. What am I going to do when I'm in an awkward social situation and I want to like hide it on my phone?
Check out.
Yeah. Or when I'm bored or stressed or whatever, like I need that. So like, I don't want to actually limit that for myself. And we could go down the list, right? Of all these things that actually, to use your planting analogy, let's say you're planting a plant and it's starting to grow, and along comes somebody with some poison and just kind of sprinkles it on top of it and goes along their way. You need to get rid of the poisons. You need to get away from those so that you can continue to grow.
You actually need to create space. I think a lot of this is one place where people break down sometimes is they don't even take the time to become aware of how connected the seemingly unconnected things are. That I go, okay, I have this thing that happens. I need to put more time and energy into meditation. Okay, that's the impression I have afterwards. I need to cultivate my heart. I need to spend more time with God. I need to do, okay, cool, I'm going to do that. But they don't do the first step to say, what are the things that I'm going to have to give up to then have more time with God, or that are distractions to me? And it's the simple little innocuous things like, you know what? My life depends on me not getting on social media anymore. The new life that I was just impressed to have, it actually depends on this thing truly being cut out, even though the whole world will look at it and be like, no, that's not a big deal. Like, you're fine. Like, but in your life, it actually matters that much. And we have a hard time connecting the dots and saying, well, why would me, you know, taking gaming off my phone be connected to God can speak to me now more? Like, I can live more true to who I am, or this idea of the inputs, like simple, stupid things, the music that I listen to, the media that I consume, like the way that I spend my time, my free time, those things, they're not causing massive problems in my life, but they are the barrier to the new change. That's what you're really getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't have a hard line for myself, and maybe I need to set one. But I had a plan to get up early this morning and go to the gym. Wanted to work out, just start the day right, feel really good. But I had to finish Survivor last night until midnight. Like, I had to watch it. do you see?
Yeah, and especially because you could justify that, because that's a family thing, because we have a bet going with all the siblings as to who's going to win. So, of course, you had to watch it so you could be up to speed.
So, like, busting through a bedtime and not caring about getting to bed early, like, it's a domino effect. It's not about controlling your life and taking away all of the things that feel good in your life. That's not what we're saying. But it's being aware of the trade-offs that you're making in your life. And when you have a big experience, to be able to say, oh, hang on here. Like, if I want this in my life, I have to put these inputs in. In order to put these inputs in, I have to take these inputs out. Like, those have to be removed so then I can consistently do these things that are going to create lasting change for myself.
Yes, exactly, Brannon. And that's the thing that makes that so difficult, is the inputs that we have to remove after that change. You know, I'm feeling so depressed, and then I have this kind of cool emotional experience or thing with God, and I feel like God loves me. And I have these impressions of, man, I want to spend some more time in nature. I want to spend some more time listening to things that are going to uplift me. And you make this whole plan, and then you run into the things you have to get rid of. Those are habit formed. Those things that you have to get rid of, they're so ingrained in you that even though they seem innocuous, they will hurt like crazy when you have to make the change. They will scream at you. Yeah. They'll fight with you. They'll tell you to go back to them. They'll have you ache for it. They'll have you feel irritable. They'll make you uncomfortable. And you have to be willing to say, for the greater good, I am going to go through this pain and this struggle, because these new things that I'm having an impression on will actually in the long run produce far better and far more for me than these things that I've been relying on and just been on autopilot with.
Yep. Yep. It's, you know, I have a couple of friends and people I know who are alcoholics, who also are really, really depressed. And it's like, well, drinking the alcohol is not helping your depression. So let's, if you don't want to be depressed, let's remove the alcohol. Easier said than done, right? Because of the what Tyler just said is so important. The habits have been formed over a long period of time, and they will not go away easily. And so you need to replace those habits. You need to have systems to help you have the fortitude to overcome some of those things, so then you can add new things in. With something like alcohol, it physically attacks you with withdrawal symptoms, saying, "Oh no, you don't get rid of this." Alcohol is easy to see it, but things like sugar and social media and those type of things have similar cravings and similar vice. It's a similar vice that grabs us and holds us. So, yeah. So I think that's where a lot of people fall, Tyler, is
they fall because they get blindsided by the discomfort of the change they have to make, because they feel like, well, if I've got good motivations and I've got good impressions, like think about this, Brandon, with what we do with our retreats. We have people come to these places and we put them into all sorts of different settings that they don't normally do in their lives. We have them get rid of their phones and their technology. We put them into nature. We put them in with certain kinds of music, with certain kinds of content, time for journaling, pondering, meditation. And without fail, the majority of the people that come to those things at the end of the retreat go, "Wow, what an experience. Like, that was amazing. This was awesome. Life-changing," things like that. And then they go, "How do I hold on to it?" And you could say, well, go put the inputs that you were doing here in at home.
Right.
But then that means I'd have to give up this and this and this and this. Yes, that's exactly what it means. Right. I don't want to do that. It's like in the scriptures, the man who is like, "Christ, I've done everything. I'm a true follower. What else need I do?" And Christ is like, "Well, sell all you have and come follow me." And the guy's like, "Except for that, like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go away sorrowing because I'm unwilling to make the change, rather than looking at it and going, I will embrace this discomfort. This discomfort, all it is just habit loop that's changing it. And I can actually see the discomfort as part of the process and be grateful that I'm moving through it, because it means I am intentionally making choice and I'm intentionally changing. But we, when we feel the discomfort, instead our brains go to, "Oh, this is too hard," or, "Oh, this doesn't work," or,
"Yeah,
why am I so depressed again?" And so being aware of it and embracing that discomfort of the change is a big first step after you've had that powerful experience.
Yep. Yep. Can I add another one in here? That it's almost cliche now, but it's like, you're a culmination of the 10 closest people to you, right? And as we're talking about getting rid of these habits and being healthier, and look around you, you know, who are your friends? Who are the people you associate with? The chances are you're all pretty similar. It's important to have vision, and it's important to see beyond if you want change. And a lot of times how you do that is you have people around you. You have mentors. You have people that motivate you, people that hold you accountable, people that you look up to, that actually push you to break out of where you're just staying stuck. And it required, when we talk about new inputs, it requires new inputs of people around you that can support you to actually stay consistent, to not fall back into the old patterns, and to keep doing the things that you want to do to create what you want to create.
I think what you're saying is so important. And Brandon, I don't think it's just the new inputs of new people. That's a big, big deal for a lot of people when they make changes, is that if you want to grow, surround yourself with the people that you want to be more like, because you will start to, grow up into those kinds of people, right? But it's also the way that you treat the relationships that matter too. You know, and I'll give you a personal example of this just happening. It's been happening over the last week for me. It's in my own personal like recovery journey. It's like I peel back a layer and I learn something new and I feel so revived and so fresh and I feel like I'm a new man, like truly been reborn. And then I hit a new plateau and I feel pretty good and comfortable until something else comes along and smacks me in the face and is like, oh, by the way, Tyler, like here's another form of denial, or here's another false belief that you have, or here's another character flaw that you need to chip away at. And I had one of those things hit me just in the last couple of weeks that I still have a massive problem with curating the way that people see me. You know, like I try to be vulnerable. I try to be real. I try to be authentic with people. And yet there's still, in certain parts of my life, there's still a big mask that I put on with the people that mean the most to me. Right. Mm. And what you're saying, Brandon, and this is what it dawned on me when it hit me in the face like that, was I already have some good people in my life, but I'm not using those people the way that I need to in order to grow in this part of my life. Right. So now it's on me to actually go. And so I approached a couple of people who are local here and I set it up. Starts tomorrow. We have a Tuesday morning get together to be better men. And my first target is, I have a problem with curating how I look, and you two guys are going to be the ones that point that out to me. I want you to put me in positions where you call me out when you see me overperforming. I want you to put me in positions when, you know, you call me out when you see me like not being genuine or not being real. And I want you to press me into places that are uncomfortable for me to go. And here's my new targets. And thank goodness I've got a couple of men in my life that are going to do that for me. But I also have to go and cultivate that kind of a relationship with them, because otherwise they'll just kind of be my friends.
Right.
Right. But we need to set an intention. There needs to be some kind of an intention with parts of those relationships for the sake of our growth. And I hope to be the same for them when we meet, you know,
right,
and
right.
It'll be, I think all of us kind of need this, that we all need to be at the same time. We need to be mentored by somebody while also mentoring somebody else. And there's benefits to both sides of that coin.
Right. Right. I think it's interesting, Tyler, because you and I have run, I don't know how many groups. And when you get together and you say, okay, like we're all going to work on this thing. We're going to get better. We're going to, I've been in groups where it's, they're accountability groups where they just kick each other's ass and just push, like, well, you didn't do this. And what happens is there's a couple that will progress with that. And then the rest just kind of fall off and you don't see them anymore. And I've found, and I've been the type that's just cracked the whip, just been the, like, come on, let's do this. And then I've backed way off. And I've been like, hey, it's your recovery.
Work your own pace. It's your life.
Just be conscious of what you're creating, but you're choosing to create it. Like, this is it. Like, whatever, you know, that we don't need to crack a whip. That's just obviously what you want to create. So what I found is that it's different for everybody what they need in terms of that accountability and support. Some need a softer approach. Some enjoy a more firm approach. What matters is what they ask for. And are we able to support you and give you the support you need as you work toward this? I've worked with some people who ask for a really firm approach, not because they want to change, but because they want to find more reasons to live in their shame and be beaten down.
Yeah, they use it the wrong way.
Yeah, so then I back off and I say, hang on here. What are we actually doing here? Like, let's actually look at what you want to create. We're just reinforcing shame here with this type of support. And I think what you're saying, Tyler, it sounds really healthy to get together with people to be as authentic as you can be and say, look, this is what I desire. This is what I want. I'm trying to get conscious of the unconscious, trying to get conscious of these masks that I wear. I know I'm not fully conscious of them. Help me reflect back to me so I can see this, so that I can act against it, so that I can have a different experience, so that I can change this. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you said, Brandon, that I would say that even in my relationships, there are times when I'm going to want them to press harder, and there's times when I'm going to need them to just hold the space for me and see me and love me. And I think you said, like, everybody's driven a little bit differently, but all of us actually benefit from both.
Yes.
And none of us actually benefit from only one or the other. If I'm always driving, pounding, like, get better, get better, get better, get better, that's just drill sergeant. There's no love. There's no warmth. There's no relationship there. But if I'm also like, yeah, well, whatever, do your thing. Like, I'm going to love you no matter what. And da, 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 da. Like, you know, it's like, well, but then you're not really loving them by helping facilitate some structure and some change. And somewhere in the middle, those people make the best teammates.
Yep.
Those people that are going to say, I love you no matter what. I see you working, and I'm going to be honest with you with what I see.
Yep.
But I'm doing it because I love you. Not right. Because I'm trying to make myself feel like a better team member, or make you like make, you know, go Satan's plan and make you a better person. Like,
no, this is, like, what you've asked me to do, to be honest with you, to hold you accountable. And
I'm going
to
love you that way.
I can't do it for you or this or that. I can't overstep my boundaries here, but I can support you and love you and be honest with you. I had an experience just yesterday where I have a person helping me with my health a little bit, with just trying to get healthy. And I went out of town the last 4 days and just totally fell off the wagon, you know.
Sure.
And he checked in with me and was like, hey, how are things? And I was like, kind of almost embarrassed to let him know what I've been doing the last 4 days. And his response was so perfect. It was so positive of like, look, the past is the past. You're aware that you've done those things. You're aware of it. What you can focus on now is the now and the future. So how can we move forward? How can we get you going in the right direction? And that, it was like, so kind and supportive of me, but yet so motivating to be like, you know what? Yeah.
Get up.
Like, let's get up. Let's do this. So,
yeah.
So good support, good people around you, good support. And Tyler, I would say, when you push against good support, and you want to get rid of good support, get conscious of that and try not to get rid of good support. If you're getting rid of good support, what you're saying is, I want to go back to the old patterns. I want to go back to what I created before, because these people are actually helping me change. Right?
Yeah. In certain ways, they become the mirrors to the things that I'm constantly wanting to work on. And if I'm going break on all the mirrors so that I can stay in my denial, like, that's, we all like to do that sometimes, you know?
Right.
Like, sometimes it seems easier to do that, but the pathway forward, the pathway to change. And I like what you said. This is an important part of this whole idea of lasting change, is the people that we bring into our lives that are willing to be those kinds of good team members. They're like the scaffolding and the structure while you're building a new building. Like, they hold things in place that otherwise wouldn't be held.
Yes.
And we tend to do more because we're naturally built this way with the social pressures that we have. We tend to do more of what we say we're going to do when we've actually told people what we're going to do.
Yep.
And so we actually facilitate more change in ourselves when we bring the right people in, and it helps to hold the changes that we're trying to make in place. Like this person that you're using for your physical health, that's probably vitally important for you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Like, yep. Otherwise you'd go on for 4 days, then you'd come home and feel shame, and then wouldn't tell anybody about it. And then you let it spin out for another 2 weeks until, yep, you know, now you're 4 days in changing instead of 2 weeks in changing.
Right. Right. I just needed to not watch Survivor last night so I could have worked out this morning. But I'm going to get one. I'm going to get one in later today.
Yeah. And then you're going to be back on the saddle tomorrow morning and you're not watching Survivor tonight.
That's right. you know, Tyler, we're all in this battle. We're all in this battle of both accepting where we're at and working toward change and something better. And I think it's awesome to be engaged in that process, because if you're not, you're just sitting back and letting life come at you and let life dictate what happens in your life, and you just get what you get.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Absolutely. So
we're all in it. Yeah.
Something else that I would say, you know, to this idea, this topic of how do I help invite lasting change? At least it's been my experience that in many different aspects of life, that lasting change is still a process-oriented thing. And so because we're dealing with the human body and brain and everything else, and habit is actually a thing, if we go to change something in ourselves today, it's very likely that it's not going to be a lasting change instantly. It's going to be something that we commit to, that we practice, that we work towards, and then when we fall short, we recognize it, we meet it with self-compassion, we commit to it, and we practice it, and we get more reps in on it, and eventually it becomes a new habit. But it only becomes a new habit when it's recognized and recommitted to over and over and over again. And so if you fall short and you're like, oh, my change didn't happen, why did I waste all of this good motivation that I just got? No, you didn't. You use that motivation towards establishing a new pattern and a new habit. And then when you fell, you recognize it and you recommit to it. You fall back on, I remember that experience. That didn't change. I still had that experience and I need to recommit. And I need to recommit. And see recommitment as a necessary part of the process rather than failure. You know, there's a song that I love by Blue October. And one of the lyrics in there, it says, you know, he's talking about his whole life and how he used to like live in this shameful, terrible place. And the line is, I used to fall, now I get back up. And so he's shifted his perspective to saying the fall, the failure, the struggle, the pain might be necessary. What matters is that I get up. I get up.
Yes,
I get up.
I get up. I love that.
And when that happens, then lasting change actually starts to take place.
That's awesome, Tyler. So being consistent at the get back up is the key, not perfect at never falling.
Yes, exactly.
And you also remind me of Simon Sinek's whole principle of that consistency over time. I think our expectations of results really get in the way with the things that we want. Simon Sinek talks about, like, why do you brush your teeth every day? If I don't brush my teeth today, are all my teeth going to fall out?
No.
So why should I brush them?
Yeah. Well, and if you do brush your teeth, you don't really do much.
Yeah. So why should I brush them?
Because the consistency over time.
Yeah, right. So like if I'm going to the gym today, I expect to have a six pack when I walk out of that gym. Why are you laughing?
By Christmas. I'll go by Christmas.
right. And you know, it's he talks about this one, trust in a relationship. Oh, I was honest once with my spouse. How come they don't trust me now? Why don't they trust me? When you say process-oriented thing, like change is a process-oriented thing, it comes back to consistency, comes back to getting up again and again and again. And what's interesting is, this is what's so cool, Tyler, is eventually you can get that six-pack. Eventually you can rebuild trust in your relationship or not have your teeth fall out. And what you realize at the end of getting the six pack is the blessings, the biggest blessings aren't the six pack. It's all the wisdom and all the knowledge and all the life experience that you had in creating that good thing that that really blesses your life, as you go through the process of rebuilding trust in your relationship, as you go through the process of recovery from an addiction, it's not about the sobriety is the best thing. So it's awesome to have that result, but it's about that process that is so awesome.
I 100% agree with you, Brandon. I'm thinking about like some of the biggest changes that I've experienced in my own life have been the kinds of things that you don't even realize that the change has fully taken place until you get a snapshot of, wow, look at how different it is. You know, but you just were going about your business day to day, trying to do the best you could, setting your intentions a little bit at a time. And, you know, using the six pack analogy, if I go and I actually work out and do ab crunches every day, and I look at my stomach in the mirror right after every day, I'm not going to see much change. But if I were to take a picture of myself and then just go and do ab crunches every day for a month and then 2 months and then 6 months and then a year, and then take a picture of my abs, the distance between the place that I started with the consistent effort over time and the snapshot I took at that certain time would be vastly different.
Yeah.
And I would not have even really noticed the change taking place because my intention was just set on living with my intention.
Yes.
And that's where the wisdom comes in. That's where the learning comes in. And then you get to a spot where you look up and 5 or 10 or 15 years later, you're like, I'm sober. I've been sober for years. Like, well, I was focused more on the inputs. And I was so focused on intentionally following through on the right inputs towards living the life that I was designed for, that the outcomes start to take care of themselves.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting that, like, take trust, for example. If I'm a person focused on trying to get trust from my partner, like, I need to get trust, probably not going to happen. But if I'm a person focused on and understanding the principles of what actually builds trust,
being trustworthy,
I'm gonna work on being an honest person. I'm gonna work on being authentic, confident, showing up in my strength, and empathetic, and so I do all of those things. That changes my life drastically in every way. Oh, and by the way, my spouse trusts me now.
Yeah, but there's more trust in my relationship than there was.
Yeah, because I'm working on the core principles underneath that thing. It's the same thing with the six pack or whatever. Even recovery, Tyler, we see it all the time where I'm focused on sobriety. And it's no, focus on staying honest with yourself. Focus on connection to God, self, and others. Focus on those things. And then, oh, by the way, well, you've been sober for a year now. A lot of times shooting at the target of outcome really gets in the way of going through that process of refinement and change and that's long lasting.
Yeah, it's interesting because you want to set the intention. You want to look out to the future and say, I would love this and this and this. But then you have to get busy in the day-to-day putting consistent effort on true principles towards those outcomes.
You're not going to stay consistent if you have this one goal only. You are going to stay consistent if you focus on the day-to-day and just live those principles instead.
That's right. Well, Brandon, good topic today.
I got to apply some of this stuff to some of my health stuff that I'm doing. We're don't talking we to ourselves today,
don't,
Tyler.
Don't we all, man? Seriously.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, thank you to our listeners for being here. Hopefully this is helpful for you and you're able to glean something. If it's meaningful to you, please don't hesitate to share it with someone else who might be able to benefit from it as well.
Until next time, keep on keeping on.